Hey, a warm welcome to another episode of the Journey Visions podcast. We aim at capturing the different visions and inspirations of our guests and their joint projects to fight climate change. This podcast strives to interconnect between the different sustainability-related projects, bring transparency into our learning, and share our common interests.
I'm Nora from the Northern Lights Journey.
And I'm Soham from the Vinova Lisbon Pari Journey. Today, we speak with two of our very special participants from the Baltic Beauty Riga Tallinn Journey, Paloma Bellon Garcia Velasco and Mara Havercourt. Paloma was born in the coastal town of Cadiz in southern Spain, but she has lived in Madrid for most of her life. She loves multicultural environments and spent 3 years in the US and an Erasmus in Belgium. She has a background in political science and is currently pursuing a master's in international development cooperation. She firmly believes in the power of raising awareness as a driver for change. As you'd imagine, she loves the sea, likes to meet new people, and is quite the health conscious foodie. I do not understand how that works out, but that's great. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast, Paloma.
Hello. Very, very pleased to be here. And I love this podcast already, even though you're just beginning. So I'm super excited to begin.
That's great to hear. We were wondering if you could pitch your project, your individual action plan, and tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, well, like Soham just said, I am a sea lover. So every year, every summer, I usually just go to the beach daily for like 24 hours if I could. And well, you see these little pieces of trash everywhere, and you just wonder, you know, why are these pieces of trash here? Why do people keep not recycling? It keeps popping into my mind, you know, like, why do we keep throwing stuff that it's ending to the ocean? So I just, for my individual action plan, I just wanted to go like farther to what I've been doing on my own individually, like every year, just picking trash from the beach. And I wanted to organize like a cleanup day campaign. This is something that actually came to my mind every year, but I didn't really know how to do this until, well, this course, you know, the Summer Journey program, because we received a lot of, skills and trainings, but there was also one lesson from our journey with Kadi. She was, I think that's the real name, how you pronounce her name. I'm not sorry if it's not, but she was the inspiration, because she was like a person who created this campaign, or she was part of this campaign in Estonia. And I think it was named the World Cleanup Day, I think. So basically I just thought, well, if they did it, why can I not do it myself, you know? So I thought that would be like a great individual action plan to just do it in my hometown, well, where I usually go for the beach, like in the summers. And yeah, that was basically it. Like try to, gather as many people as I could, and maybe do some, like, not just the contribution to pick up the trash, but maybe inspire them to do the same, just the way that I did get some inspiration from others, you know, like to keep that going. Yeah.
That sounds amazing, Paloma. And being a beach person myself, I can totally agree. I mean, I've been involved in a movement like that myself in Hong Kong and Shenzhen. And also I have a friend who does something very similar in Lithuania, and it's very successful, that project. And Lithuania and Estonia are really path-breaking in the way they handle sustainability these days. Now let's move on to our second guest, Mara. Mara is from the Netherlands. While working as a project leader for the Store Innovation Lab, she made the decision to go back to university to specialize on the topic of sustainability. She worked as a sustainability policy intern for the Dutch Association of Banks, where she worked on the development of a communication plan on the contribution of the financial sector to the National Climate Agreement. She researched on the barriers of circular startups in accessing finance for the First Snelling Huis Netherlands Circulaire, which supports such entrepreneurs. She spends her time watching informative documentaries, reading, and starting online courses that she never finishes. She has used the COVID time well to get into bouldering. Mara, I love bouldering too. And welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
That's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about what your project is all about.
Yeah, so my my individual project is basically a follow-up of my thesis. So my thesis was indeed about circular startups. Yeah, and to give you a bit of a background, so in the Netherlands, the government actually set an ambition of realizing a circular economy by 2050, which is quite an ambitious goal, and I think it's really great. And circular startups really play a leading role in this because they're, contrary to established firms, they're more likely to pursue radical circular innovation. And they, yeah, they kind of accelerate the transition not only by selling their own products and gaining market share over like linear competitors, but also by inspiring the established regime to change. And yeah, companies see that it's potential, and they either consider it inspiration for them to do the same, or they might even see it as a threat. So they adopt similar circular practices. And this way they really play a leading role in the transition. And so, yeah, what I focus on is that in the Netherlands, a lot of these circular startups have difficulties accessing finance, and this really threatens their role in acting as a catalyst of change. And so by providing insight in the financial barriers that withhold the startups from realizing their plans, the research gives direction to the development of effective interventions that would eventually allow the circular startups to access the required capital and realize radical innovation, and so contribute to the transition to a circular economy. But in order to truly realize this change, of course, people have to know about the findings. And so therefore, my individual plan is focused on delivering some products, such as a summary for policymakers, which include recommendations for increasing access to finance for circular startups.
That's yeah, thank you, Mara. Yeah, what I actually realized is that with your project, you're basically part of the transition towards this circular economy we're striving for in Amsterdam, which is really cool. I don't know if you realized it already, but you are actually part of that process as well. We're going to move on to some questions to get to know you better, the both of you. Mara, to start off with you, three words to describe yourself.
I'd say I'm an enthusiast. Like, I get excited about a lot of things very quickly. I'm a thinker, and I'm quite clumsy. Those are the three words. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. And what was your motivation to join the Climate Kick journey? Was there anything specific?
Well, I think the most important part was just getting to know all these people that are really motivated to work on climate change and to find solutions to tackle the problem. I think that's the most important for me.
Yeah. So basically expanding your network as well.
Yeah.
And what was your motivation, Paloma, to join the journey?
Well, it was just like Mara said, for me, it was like I read about the summer journey. I found out in the, like in their web, the page. Mm-hmm. So it was like a journey that gathers people from so many different countries, so many different disciplines, you know, and you create like this like-minded community. For me, that was like the hint, you know, something that just popped to my mom, like, oh, I want to do this.
Yeah. And did it meet your expectations?
Yeah, despite the virtual the virtual environment, I think we at least in our journey, I think we totally got to know each other. Maybe not, you know, the 40 participants, but most of us, I feel like I know a little bit about Mara, you know, and the others. And yeah, and we are now connected. We are actually planning on the meeting, the physical meeting. So.
Was there any event that impacted you and that's how you got motivated to actually get into sustainability?
I don't think there was like an event, you know. It's just I've always been questioning myself about what happens and like why things happen that way. That's what I got into political science. I wanted to change the world to do something better. So I guess like within time, because I'm such a foodie, then I started to listen to all the things related to environment, then the plastic thing on the beach. I guess everything was like a puzzle, you know, just making, just feeding into each other. And that's how it happened.
And what about you, Mara? Did it also...
For me, it was also not a single event, but it was just... So I did a bachelor in management. And I think the realization that like all our activities and everything we do and the business operations, they all affect the environments. And I think in the past we had very little attention for this and just realization of how this, how big the impact is and how it's threatening our society at the moment. I think that was for me the trigger to get involved in this.
What is your biggest inspiration? Is it, could be a person, could be a book, could be a tool.
That's a difficult one, actually. I think I find inspiration in problems. Maybe that sounds a bit difficult, but it's really interesting to dive into to issues and challenges that are out there and see if we can find solutions for that. So it's not anything specific, but I think... for instance, I really like participating in like these design challenges in which you're like given a problem and then you're supposed to find a solution for that. I think that's very challenging.
Absolutely. Yeah. Such like events such as pressure cookers.
Yes, exactly. So basically just diving into the problem and trying to find solutions for that.
Yeah. And for you, Paloma?
I think it's similar to Mara. Like I wouldn't say, you know, this one person or anything, maybe just the purpose of like changing the world. That's what always inspires me to do what I do, is just to be doing something for a better planet, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
That sounds really good and very, very interesting. And then like the part that we want to change the world, but we're taking baby steps towards it. That's very inspiring. Now, I would like to go a bit deeper into your projects. Let's start with you, Mara. I won't ask you the need for your project because we know the needs there, but I was wondering, how are you going to take this idea onto the people, where you need it, onto the companies, onto the organizations? Are you trying to reach them?
So actually the plan was to to develop three products in the end, and one would be like a scientific paper, one would be a summary for policymakers, and something like recommendations for the financial sector. And so now I'm actually, it changed a bit because now I'm actually going to work for an organization in which I'm going to perform a very similar research. So we're going to research the most important barriers for companies to become circular. And the plan is to develop indeed policy recommendations or something like that. And they already have a lot of connections. So it's for Nederland Circulair, the Netherlands Circular, it's called. They already have a lot of connections with policymakers and companies, and they have the channels available to reach a lot of people. So that really helps in spreading awareness about the barriers and the potential solutions.
Right, that makes it more understandable, and the networking part is definitely more useful. But are you looking at it just from a Netherlands perspective, or are you planning to take it to like a EU perspective? Because I think similar things could be used in a lot of other countries as well, right?
Yeah, so we are really focusing on the Dutch perspective. because it is aimed to realize this goal of the Netherlands, a circular economy in 2050. But of course, I think most of it is applicable also to other countries. Maybe each country is struggling with a bit of different things. Maybe policies are not the same in each country. But I think a lot of things will be applicable to other countries as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Mara. Moving on to you, Paloma, because I've been a part of similar projects and awareness drives. I was wondering, what stakeholders are you thinking of including into your project?
Well, now, because of the corona situation, I'm going to have to postpone this, but I'm thinking what to do with, like, in the meantime, that it goes in line with my project. But when I'm actually able to do the cleanup, I would totally, like, contact the local authorities, because they usually support these initiatives if you are trying to, like, foster, you know, like, recycling or cleaning the beach. I'm sure they will be, like, supportive. And also local NGOs, I've already, like, mapped a little bit, you know, some of them. And there's a few that you could also, like, even organize a cleanup as, like, being as an ambassador of their organization. So, yeah, I think I would just go for the local authorities and the NGOs probably. And then maybe for the dissemination of the campaign, I would try to get in contact with people that maybe are more like social influencers, you know, activists in the social media, so that you can reach out to more people. But yeah.
We always need the social influencers, don't we?
Yeah.
But that's completely that makes a lot of sense, though. But I was also wondering, do you plan for it to be a one-off thing, or do you want it to continue? Because, I mean, in a lot of environments, you would need something like that over and over again with such a huge number of tourists ending up there, right?
Like, my hometown, like, the place that I usually go for summer is not, you know, the typical beach that is fully covered by, you know, plastics and waste. But, yeah, it wouldn't be something that I would want to do that for more than once, not because of the, you know, huge need to clean up the beach every day, because it's not like it's an island like in Spain, Mallorca, Menorca, you know, it's not like that. But because of the what I'm trying to get with the cleanup is, you know, like I want to get people engaged with the problem. So if I just do it once, it would probably end up being nothing. So yeah, I would totally try to make it more than once and maybe just create like a whole community around it. So maybe you move to another city, like, or a close town or something like that. Yeah.
That almost answers the next question. We were thinking about the outreach, but yeah, definitely this project can definitely reach a lot more cities, and we know, especially in Europe, you know, you need projects like that. Now let's move on to the journey a little bit. Paloma, what was the most interesting part of the journey for you?
The most interesting? I mean, I already expected to meet so many wonderful people from different countries, so that was amazing, because I got what I really was looking for. But I was really surprised by what we learned. I mean, I feel like maybe I was one of the few that learned the most, because I came from, you know, political science, like a different background. But I learned a lot about innovation, which I really did not know anything about, like design thinking, you know, systems thinking was like huge for me. I've always seen the interconnections between things, right? The issues, especially when you study social science, you kind of tend to see these things. But putting that in a system, you know, we had a great coach and she was amazing with that. And we did so many things with system thinking that was something that I wasn't expecting, you know, that it was huge learning.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that part as well, especially because, you know, it was such a multidisciplinary approach and everyone's from a different background, but we all got towards a similar goal. And that's all it's about. Let's ask Mara a more complicated question now. Which part of the journey did you not like, Mara? And you think
better? Yeah, I mean, that's a bit of an easy answer then, but I think the fact that it was online, I mean, it would have been so much nicer to have it in real life and to meet people in real life. I agree with Paloma that it was really great to meet the people, but it would have been even better to meet them in real life. So yeah, maybe too much of an easy answer, but that would still be, the biggest point for me.
Yeah, it was challenging for sure. The online part, the long hours was definitely challenging. But we need to look at the bright side. If it was offline, we may not have had this podcast then. So, I mean, yeah. But yeah, true. This is just the world we live in now. I think Nora wants to play a little game with you now.
So to keep it also a bit light after working for weeks and weeks already on very important topics, we're going to play a little game, pick your poison. So I give you the option between two answers. And also, again, to pinpoint a little bit more about who you are. Starting with Paloma, phone call or text?
What, phone call or text? Ah. Yeah. Phone call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's actually funny though, because I think also these days I have noticed with some friends that because WhatsApp is such a huge medium to contact, that I've heard some people saying that they have this fear of calling, that it's too direct suddenly. It's a strange realization, but you're still the old school person who
in WhatsApp I do like voice messages, you know, for like long voice messages, totally phone call.
Nice. Mara, organic or local? Okay,
I would say local.
Why?
I think it's nice also to have this relationship with where your food, well, in this case, I'm thinking of food, especially where it comes from. And I think if it's more local, then we also realize the impact it has. We're more close to the impact that it has. And I think that has a very positive influence.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and then another one for you. But I might already guess this one. Cycling or walking?
Oh, yes, cycling. Yeah, I guess the reason you guess it is because I'm Dutch, and I mean that's a big thing here.
Yeah.
I would say cycling, yes.
Yeah, I love cycling.
I mean walking is so mainstream, right? I love cycling more.
Well, cycling is mainstream here as well, but it's just so easy. It gets you everywhere very quickly, so I love it.
Yeah, okay, great. Hello, ma'am. Train or plane?
Train,
yeah.
But I must say, you know, there's some places I still cannot get there by train. So there's going to be some exceptions, but train, definitely train.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And also another one for you. Bamboo or paper cup?
Oh, I really don't know about this one. No. I would have to bamboo, but I have really no choice, like no, preference between any of those.
No, they both could have their positive sides. Okay, I think this one is pretty straightforward as well. I'm going to ask this one to Mara. Where would you rather be? Ocean or mountains?
Actually, I find that one quite difficult. I think the ocean.
You think?
I think the ocean, but that's also because I connect it to like nice weather and most importantly, nice weather, the sun, and like open culture that's why.
And I think Paloma totally agrees.
Yeah, that was so easy for me.
Okay, and then a last one for you, Mara. Laundry or dishes?
Yeah. Ooh, actually the laundry. I don't know, it always gives me a good feeling when that's done.
Okay, yeah. I can get into that. It's always nice to have clean laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you would rather do laundry than dishes, right?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's also, it doesn't feel like a lot of work to do the laundry, I think.
You're the one washing it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So it's quite easy.
Yeah, and also you don't have to do it every day, right? So that helps.
Yeah, also true.
Yeah, let's finish up with Paloma. Paloma, stainless steel bottle or glass bottle?
If you're home, glass bottle. If you're not, then you gotta go with the other one, right? But
yeah, it makes sense.
But I love glass though, so.
Yeah, glass helps, yeah. That's cool. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We really appreciate your feedback on our social media channels. And of course, you can get in touch with us if you want to be a part of this podcast. Thank you, Mara. And thank you, Paloma. And good luck with your projects. It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you too.
Thanks a lot, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Hope to hear more from you soon.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.